Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Well, on game day, we have another partner. Jeff blows me off, I blow Jeff off, and we bring in somebody way more knowledgeable than the two of us. He is Tyvis Paul, former Buckeye, Bedford Hall of Famer, not to mention various NFL jerseys across the league. And right now, Tyvis is on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Hi, Tyvis, how are you?
You did that phenomenally. You know how many times I looked over at that board on Saturday and said that? Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Woo, I said it.
Good job, man.
He was all excited about hearing it for him.
Well, all right. I haven't had a chance to talk to you. And I think sometimes when I listen to the postgame show for you guys, you tend to be the voice of reason. Not that Jeff isn't the voice of reason, but I think
Because I freak out on that show, don't I, Tyvis?
No, I just think fans that sometimes you kind of calm folks down with a little bit of player reality. So just give me your overall interpretation for anybody that didn't hear it after the game on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I thought that Deshaun went in there, and I thought he looked good. I thought he ran the offense really well. Thought the ball came out of his hands really quickly. I thought that obviously you didn't love the fumble that he had, and the only one play he had was when he tried to throw it to, I want to say it was Casey Concepcion. He threw it a little bit in the dirt. There was only two passes that I didn't really love from him. Would love to see him push the ball down the field a little bit more. I think that's what you got with Shador when he came in. He showed you he could push the ball down the field. His bad plays was he fumbled the snap. That was one. Had one batted pass, and then he sailed the pick, the dig route or whatever. Outside of those three, I thought that Shador showed a lot of growth from last year, looked very comfortable in the pocket, even when he was being blitzed, bought himself some time, didn't retreat or anything like that, got the ball out down the field for some explosive plays. Defensively-wise, I thought the ones was good. Michael Coach Jr. was the highlight of the day. Jeff knows how I feel about him. Outside of that, the twos and threes got a lot of work to do.
Do you think Deshaun executed, Tyvis, what he was being asked to, or do you think that was just what he's physically and maybe scheme-wise capable of doing right now?
I think that the first 15 plays were scripted. I think that he did a great job of hitting the drive starters, getting things going, trying to catch a rhythm. And, you know how it is. When completions equals confidence. You know, the more you complete, the more confidence you get. This is a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, so I think he's just trying to get himself into the groove of things. Ultimately, I think it'll be interesting to see how he does in Buffalo, being that if he will push the ball down the field, because he won't have the first 15 plays scripted. So he'll be coming in and trying to do his own thing, get his own rhythm going. I was watching some highlights. I seen it was a couple of downfield throws that he could have taken, but he kind of didn't pull the trigger on them. So I love to see him make improvements on that for the next game.
Hmm. Let's talk about depth. And I know we talked about this before the game too. Secondary depth is going to be really interesting. You guys are a little banged up. Obviously it seems like they got to go out and get some help there, but just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this for like two, three years now. They need some depth in the secondary. You know, if the starters is good, but if one of those guys get hurt, people's going to be nervous for that next guy jogging in the game. Like I said, Michael Coates had two really good plays. The PBU was really good, and the interception was good. I think he operated out of that nickel position, so that really doesn't help, you know, for the outside guys. Outside of that, yeah, it was a whole lot of nothing there. So they got to figure that out. Like I said, just when I was talking to Jeff about it after the game, what I was telling him was, you know, it seems like it's a bunch of guys that aren't knowledgeable of football, of what's going on. And what I mean by that is, I mean, like, you know, when you're a young guy out there, you're worried about trying to get your assignment. You're worried about what you have, you know, and you don't really necessarily take a look at the offense to see what they look like they're doing. What did my coach tell me about these certain formations? What's this offensive coordinator's tendencies in certain situations? You know, you don't think about those things. You're just worried about making sure that you got your assignment right. And I think we got to get past that. Because I feel like, you know, some of the stuff right now is just vanilla, plain Jane offense. And I feel like we should be able to see what's about to happen and have a good idea for it. I just feel like we're not there. And I think that's just because guys haven't played a lot of football in this league.
Tyvus Powell joining us. You hear him on the Browns Radio Network. Andy pregame with me on postgame. Jared Verse spoke today, Tyvus. That guy, he said, I'm really disrespectful to my teammates in practice. I love the energy this guy's brought to the team. What have you thought of him so far as a member of the Browns?
I think I understand exactly why Andrew Berry made it a requirement that he's in that trade. You know, I think that Miles is a great talent, and he's one of one. He's obviously a walking Hall of Famer. But I don't know how Miles was in the locker room. When you listen to this guy talk, he's the vocal leader that you wanted Miles to one day be. You know, he's that guy that can get guys going. He can get up and motivate an entire defense and things like that. He's been really good for these young guys. You know, getting Spencer Fano ready to go by starting fights with him and going at him every day in practice to let him know, like, hey, you know, I'm one of the best in this league. You're not going to see too many people better than me. So if you can stop me, you should be good in this league. You know, and I think that he's done a great job of just getting guys ready to go putting a lot of faith and confidence in the rest of that defense, you know. So I think that he's been what the Browns kind of needed in that locker room for right now.
Tyvus, you did a pretty good tour around the NFL when you played. How many, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, did you run into any first-year head coaches in the NFL?
I think. When I got to San Fran, I believe that was Kyle Shanahan's first year. Was Kyle's first year in San Francisco 2017?
Yeah, that would have been.
If it was, then he was one.
Yeah, so the bigger question is what do first-year head coaches, what don't they know? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you've got an experienced head coach, there's a difference. Isn't there, or is there not? You tell me. You know better than
I mean, yeah, I mean, because the first year, you spend a lot of the first year trying to set the culture. You're trying to find the guys that fit what you're looking for, right? And you have to deal with the last coaching staff's guys and how they ran things. So you got to try to break guys of that habit and get them to see things the way you want it to be seen. That, to me, is what year one is all about, is getting guys to buy into what you're selling. Because it's hard for guys, especially guys that have seen success in the NFL, to just drop what they know and just go off of what you're saying, you know, because right. They feel like they got it. I got it. I've been in this league for years. I know what to do to get ready, you know. So it's a lot of that going on for that first year. And until you go out there and go into battle and show that you're putting these guys in the right position to succeed, you're going to fight that uphill battle all year long.
Tyvus, I would think Todd Monken has something that could certainly be an advantage for him, and that is that he is a first-time NFL head coach, and other teams probably don't know what his ultimate offense might look like. They can look at the Baltimore stuff and everything else, but in this situation, they don't know. So how do you put together a preseason game plan that can give you the opportunity to evaluate your own players while not giving up too much of what you might be doing once it starts counting for real?
Thing that what you do is you try to, that's why practice is so important, because you try to do everything you can to get those game-like situations so you can see how guys respond. When you get to the game, you know, that's just football. That's just seeing how good of a football player you are, you know, just fundamentally sound, because there won't be any gimmicks or anything like that in the middle of those games, because they don't want to show their playbook. So that's why, like, this Thursday when they go joint practice against Buffalo, that's why it's a big day. You know, everybody's worried about the quarterbacks, but there's other guys that's also looking at this as their Super Bowl, you know, because this is their only chance to really showcase that they can get things done against other NFL teams. So I think that that's kind of how you got to navigate this practice, putting them in situations that you want to see how they handle those situations, and you hope that guys is giving you 110%.
Tyvus, give me what you really liked. Give me a couple positives from Saturday. I thought you were pretty positive right out of the gate, but things that fans should be excited about, even though sometimes it looks a little murky.
I think that you should be excited about the wide receiver core. I think that with Bond, Boston, Concepcion, and even Sprinkle Judy in there, I know Harold Fannin dropped the ball, but I think that you got four legitimate playmakers right there that can make, that can do some things, that can stretch the field. And that's a part of the offense that we haven't seen in quite some years. You know, Amari Cooper was the last great receiver that we had that really made a difference in game. I think you got those four guys that can absolutely take over a game at any given moment. So that's one thing to be excited about. I thought the offensive line was okay in the passing attack. What I need to worry, what I was worried about was the run game. You think against the twos, you get a lot more push there, and I didn't see that. On the defensive side of the ball, I think that they're pretty solidified there. You just hope that, you know, we haven't seen a lot of Carson Schwessinger. We haven't seen Malik Collins, and Mike Hall's been missing. But when we seen those guys early on, they seemed like they were right where they left off. You know, the last time we seen them, they all were very productive. So you hope that you continue to get that. And that defense, for them not to have Miles Garrett and Jim Schwartz, it still looks like a really good defense. Hopefully, don't know what Dale Pitt went out with. Hopefully it wasn't nothing too serious.
How do you make sure Quinshon Judkins gets an amazing amount of touches while still getting Dylan Sampson enough where he can impact the game?
I think that right there goes off of the flow of the game. You know, you got to look at your offensive line and see what they're getting done. If they're getting a push, you know, obviously you ride Quinshon's shoulders on that one. You let him do his thing because that's where he thrives at. If they're not getting that much of a push and it's getting kind of stalemated on that offensive line, then you insert a Dylan Sampson in there, you know, that kind of, you know, you said you run those screens and things like that. That slows a defensive line down because they can't be so aggressive. So I think it's just about playing the game. You know, if you see your offensive line starting to struggle, throw a screen pass in there. Now that D-line is thinking about screens anytime Dylan Sampson's in the game. Now you can run the ball and maybe catch him off guard and stuff like that. So I think it's just about mixing and matching that the whole entire game and seeing how that offensive line is responding to that defensive line that they're going against.
Tyvus, let's do it again on Saturday. I will see you on the pregame show, and then, of course, we'll always hear you on the postgame show on the Browns Radio Network right here on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you, Tyvus.
I appreciate you guys. Go Bucks.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll talk to you later. Oh, number one, by the way. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
Very nice. Goodbye. Tyvus Powell, nice enough to join us on the Wise Heart Right. We make it right. Call Kyle Wright. Hotline. Lot to take in today when it comes to the Browns and all the things that we've discussed with you. Also, your opportunity to talk a little bit more about what you saw on Saturday and what you're hoping to see, not only on next Saturday against Buffalo, but also what could happen in this joint scrimmage coming up on Thursday. We'll do that when we return. 216-474-0092.
A little bit of news from the NBA. NBA spokesman Mike Bass issued this statement, ESPN's article regarding the LA Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracies. The results in this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. That is from NBA spokesman Mike Bass.